Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stamos.
Hello. I'm Chris Stamos, the host of Voices of Women on Transformation Talk Radio. So glad you're tuning in today. Today is Earth Day, so I invite you to celebrate and honor her beauty. Take a walk and feel the earth. Get away from that cement road and sidewalks and feel the actual ground, the rich soil or grass. Really feel it and send love and healing energy to our beautiful earth. I remember traveling in Asia in, I think it was around 1985. I think I was in Thailand where I really felt this. I felt like I was there really walking on the earth and felt the difference of my sense of living in the U.S. felt like walking on cement, meaning there was just a lack of connection to the earth. Sometimes when we live in Western cities, a lot of cement. And then also the reason I say this, I could feel the daily spiritual essence there. It wasn't something you went to church once a week and got fed for an hour, inspirational talk, then you go and live the rest of your life the rest of the week. The spirit there was in their work and in their relationships, and it was felt daily. So I came home seeking that. And I feel we can sense it more when we're out in nature, when we feel the earth, and when we appreciate the beauty of the flowers, the trees, the grass. And I love gardening. I find that very therapeutic for me because I get my hands into the soil and I can create beauty in my surroundings. So let's just take the time today to bless our planet. So today on the show, we're going to talk about health and nutrition. And I have two wonderful guests today who both practice Ayurvedic medicine. My first guest is Kelly Creamer, and she has a bachelor's degree in nutritional science and a certification in Ayurvedic medicine from Bastyr University. She also has a master's degree in community health. And she is a proud returned Peace Corps volunteer. She has worked, studied, and traveled throughout Asia, Africa, Central, and North America. As a health professional for almost 20 years, Kelly has counseled and taught cooking, nutrition, and lifestyle wellness for schools and universities in private homes, businesses, health clubs, hospitals, clinics, senior centers, and food banks. Kelly recently authored a book titled My Body, My Vehicle. Think of it as an atlas for creating and maintaining a healthy lifestyle or as a guide for getting on and cruising down the highway to health. It gives simple, easy-to-follow steps for taking control of your body and steering it in the right direction. You'll learn about metabolism in a fun, easy-to-swallow, and very digestible manner. Her book offers life-changing nutrition information for everybody. She believes that by taking a closer look at our body systems, our food supply, and the media who advertise those foods, we can make the best choices to optimize our health and well-being. So welcome, Kelly.
Thank you.
So first, I want to find out, because I'm always interested, what was the turning point in your life that led you to work in the health and nutrition profession?
Well, I worked in a health food store when I was in high school, and that got me really interested in whole foods. And from then on, I went into work into health food stores in almost every city I ever lived. But I was always fascinated and curious about the human body, and I just found it so incredible the way the body worked. I don't consider myself an artist, although I appreciate art very much, but to me, the human body is by far the most incredible work of art ever created. And as a young girl, I gave my allowance to aid programs and got very curious about other cultures. I had pen pals all over the world, and I knew from a very young age that I wanted to join the Peace Corps. So nutrition was a natural fit for me because I thought it would make me useful in many ways, and I love the human body.
Great. So you practice Ayurvedic medicine. Can you define that for our listeners? Because, you know, I don't even think I know how to define that. I've heard the term, but I've never really made use of it.
Certainly. I just want to clarify that I'm not an Ayurvedic doctor.
That's
a very long program. But I did study it at Bastyr University. This is about over 20 years ago. But Ayurveda translates into the science of life. And it was founded in India thousands of years ago. It might sound a little woo-woo and out there for some listeners, but the information was channeled to its founder. And its basis is very basic. There are essentially three body types, and in Ayurveda it's called doshas. In my book, I make the terms, I take them out of Sanskrit and put them in terms where I think that my friends, family, and clients can understand better. So I call them frames. And we all have tendencies toward all of those frames, but usually one or two predominate. And certain foods, including spices, have an effect on how well our frames are in balance. And for me, I've seen some significant results with clients suffering from major chronic diseases, go off blood pressure medication, diabetes, and liver medication, just by taking simple dietary changes to go with their frame type.
And is this a pretty ancient system, or is it fairly new?
It's very ancient. It's about 8,000 years old.
Oh, okay.
And in India, they've been practicing it for just about this long. It's very common. And it's, like I say, it's pretty basic. There are some, there's a lot of detail to it, but it can be, the way I use it, just simple dietary changes. And like I said, I've seen some amazing results.
And so you say spices play a big role. I think you mentioned spices.
Yes. Yes, as we all might be familiar in India, in Indian food, they use a combination of all these wonderful herbs and spices. And as I describe in my book, there's, well, we have six taste buds on our tongue. And although in Western countries, you might have learned there's only four. But each of those tastes plays a different role in digestive process. And so we can't really get some of those tastes, like the pungent, which is like the spicy taste, and astringent, which are very mild tastes, without some of these herbs and spices. They really help play that role. So if we can try and incorporate those more, so for certain people who maybe have a fiery frame type, like what would be the pitta, or I call it the sun, they should really avoid really hot, spicy foods, although they're really drawn to it. They like it. But it can aggravate, say, their temper and certain things like that. So the herbs and spices do play an important role.
Oh, that's interesting. And I know cayenne pepper and different spices like that are pretty healthy. There's that miracle drink that, well, I forget what it's called, Master's Miracle. It's lemon juice and from freshly squeezed lemon. And what else is in there? But cayenne pepper. In water, and I love the drink. It's like a lemonade. Oh, I think there's maple syrup or molasses in it. And the cayenne pepper there, it's supposed to be like a well-balanced, like has everything you need to eat. And that's been, has changed people's health by doing even that drink. So you can see how the spices play an important role. So you state Americans are unhealthier than ever today. So what do you think the root cause of this is?
Well, that's a very complex question. There are a lot of reasons, but the statistics are there that children born today are the first generation in the history of America to have a shorter life expectancy than their parents. And to me, it seems like our food supply is playing, you know, a very huge role in that, and also if you look at, you know, there's high fructose corn syrup has infiltrated everything from yogurt to bread, and you look at the portion sizes, which have significantly increased over the last 30 years. Also, the amount of restaurants has increased by 75% in the last 30 years. And as we're all too aware, many of them are fast food restaurants. So right there, we have many culprits. The media may also play a huge role. Food, especially junk food, is highly advertised and made to look very desirable and tasty. And so along with that, our life expectancy overall has grown. However, the quality of life has gone down because of preventable chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease. And these are all diet and lifestyle diseases. And so like the incidence of type 2 diabetes just keeps rising, especially among children who 15 years ago weren't even susceptible to it. It was always called adult onset diabetes when I was studying nutrition because only sedentary overweight adults got it. And now, you know, there's all these children getting it, and it seems to be a lot having to do with what's going on in the food supply and the choices we're being encouraged to make and therefore making.
Yeah, and you see them, you know, go for the chips, they go for the sugar, and if you learn about that, I mean, even just the sugars, we get sugars naturally in the food, but having extra sugar on top of that, how unhealthy that is and how it can lead to, those chronic diseases. And we were just reading an article the other day of sugar being a toxin that, you know, really affects our health. And so, well, we're going to talk more about this. You're listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Kelly Creamer.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com. Transforming the world one listener at a time.
Hi, I'm Paul Bland. Did you know there is only one truly perfect food protein produced by nature? It can bring dramatic results to your health, your appearance, and overall performance. Introducing Action Whey. No other protein supplement on the market has been able to achieve the incredible health benefits of Action Whey while still achieving a taste that is better than a malt shop shake. Action Whey, for the way nature intended. Visit seaandearth.com. That's seaandearth.com for more information.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did you know Greek God's Yogurt has 20 billion live and active probiotic bacterial cells per serving? This healthy type of bacteria in yogurt helps boost the immune system by protecting the gastrointestinal tract and fighting off harmful organisms, preventing disease and helping you keep in tip-top shape. Did you have your Greek God's Yogurt for breakfast today? For more information, visit GreekGodsYogurt.com and AnnaLuque.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
So welcome back. This is Chris Stainis on Voices of Women. I'm talking with Kelly Creamer. Kelly, can you give your contact information to our audience if anybody would like to contact you?
Oh, certainly. My email is Kelly, K-E-L-L-I-E, at mybodymyvehicle.com.
Okay, and that's the name of your book, My Body, My Vehicle, correct?
Right, and it's available on Amazon.com as well.
Great. Okay, so we were just talking about how the next generation, our children, might not outlive our, you know, us. And I was just sharing with you at the break that it was sort of, you know, I've been hearing that we're going to be living longer and the next generation, we can live to 150, and there's all this stuff on aging and, you know, all the breakthroughs they're making and on the genetics and DNA and things that they're finding people will live longer. And yet you're stating now there's some statistics that people will live, shorter lives. And, so talk a little more about that.
Well, from what I've read and understood, today's adult Americans are already have a shorter life expectancy than was originally projected. And this is because of the obesity epidemic. Along with obesity comes so many other chronic diseases, heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, type 2 diabetes. And these things are on the rise significantly. Right now, a staggering 64.5% of adults age 20 and older are overweight, and 30% are obese. That's an enormous part of our population. So if these things are continue to be on the rise, then there's, you know, there's no way that we can live, you know, these exorbitant amounts. And maybe there's certain people, you know, sort of the healthy part of the population or the people who can't afford some of the scientific breakthroughs. But, you know, as the Surgeon General recently announced that smoking is no longer the number one killer in the U.S., it's obesity. And so, you know, I think there is some conflicting scientific data out there about the statistics with the American children having a shorter life expectancy than their parents. But every generation in the history of America has lived longer. Well, now when we have, 10-year-olds getting type 2 diabetes when 20 years ago that was unheard of, then they're going to have a significantly shorter life expectancy because, you know, they're overweight. They can't exercise. They have to take special medication. You know, there's all of these health problems that are associated to that. It's quite sad.
Yes. And you know, I remember when I was in grade school, I think it was then, I can't remember exactly, it goes back a little ways, there was just a big health push of getting in sports, being active, and now we're dealing with this, you know, overweight problem. And yeah, it's hard to, I just lost 20-25 pounds from last summer, and I am so able to be more active. You know, I can jump up and down and dance more. I mean, I just feel the difference. And so having 20 extra pounds on me just weighed me down a lot. I know I have a lot of friends who have been losing weight, and it seems like we're on a kick to lose weight, and yet here we're dealing with children in school. And then there's the whole thing of push for getting healthier food in the schools and the resistance to that.
Yeah. I stated in my book where I was on a board because the USDA several years ago requested that schools had a nutrition program. And so I was involved in trying to help a school district here where I live in Tacoma, where I had lived, actually. I don't live there now. But and they were trying to get their nutrition program developed. Well, I, as a health professional, was at these meetings, and I was told, me and the other people who worked at the health department, I was working for Washington State University, we weren't allowed to speak at this meeting. And I heard teachers talk about how, well, they couldn't not have, you know, soda sales on campus because they wanted to have their soda when they were in the staff room, and how hypocritical would that be if they didn't let the kids, you know. So they were making these decisions based on, you know, in my opinion, very selfish reasons, not for the growth and development of these children. And then they wouldn't let us speak. So when there was a few parents that were pretty active and wanting to get some changes made, I just kind of went to them and gave them, you know, tons of information so that they could be armed, because they didn't want to hear it from us, the health professionals. So, you know, there are some school districts that are doing great things and are bringing farm to school and salad bars and these kinds of things, but there are still some really school districts that, you know, in my opinion, are just not doing in the children's best interest.
Right. I was just talking to somebody who said the largest lobbyist group in Washington is the sugar industry. And, you know, that can play a big effect on everything, because if you've got that pushing for, you know, that's everything from corn syrup, you know, corn syrup and all the things that are not healthy for you. In here it's being, you know, they have the subsidies and all that. So it's a hard thing to get. Is it a cultural, American cultural thing? Cause I don't know, cause we were talking about the U.S. and yet I don't know if you see this in other countries.
Does the lobbying?
No, no, I was just talking about the lobbying for sugar. The sugar industry was a huge lobby, efforts in Washington D.C. But I just mentioned the, is it a cultural thing of our eating habits, the sugar and the, you know, it almost feels like we're becoming one, you know, here we have been one of the richest and the richest country in the world. And yet health wise, I don't know that we're the healthiest. And in other cultures, I mean, you go to Europe, it seems like it's when I've been there, very healthy eating.
Yes. Well, they have an older culture where they, depending on where you are in Europe, as far as their eating habits, you know, but ours is very susceptible to change. We are eating very different than we ate even 50 years ago when we were talking about sugar. You know, think about in the 1950s, when did you have dessert? You know, what are those folks? They might have had cake or cupcakes at a birthday party, but it wasn't necessarily, you know, every day with these sodas. I give an example how my mom and her brothers would every once in a while get enough money to buy a little 12-ounce bottle of pop, and they would share it amongst the three of them and line up, you know, and probably get, you know, 3 ounces each once every couple of months. And that was, you know, the amount of sugar that they got, basically. So, and what's happening now, you know, and they were in from a very poor, you know, community in Michigan. Well, now it seems like especially the things have reversed where those communities are more able to get the sodas and the junk, the empty calories, you know, the cheap fast food that's available. And those aren't, you know, the healthiest products. We have tons of, you know, fast food places here where they just don't have that really in Europe. And we've also, our food supply has been inundated with not the best products. There is a YouTube video by Robin O'Brien, and she talks about how, you know, our food supply was, wheat and corn was, like sort of a fake protein was put into these products for whatever reason to make them grow. You know, we've got pesticides put into our seeds. We have additives and, you know, all these uber sugars in our food supply that, you know, the Europeans, they're not allowing that stuff to happen to their food. You know, even the controversy years ago over the GMO foods where the, you know, in Africa they were sending all those products and they didn't want that. Well, because it hadn't been tested, you know, but we don't have any problem testing it on our population. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely something there.
Yes. So what do you recommend for if someone wants to change their eating habits, which is, you know, difficult to do because we get kind of addicted to, you know, what we like, and what do they need to do to get started? What do you recommend?
Well, first and foremost, you know, it might sound a little cliche, but I say eat breakfast. that is really important, and a lot of people don't, you know, do that. But if you can eat something within an hour of waking up, you know, you have to think of your body as a machine. It has an engine and it needs fuel to run it efficiently. So breakfast, you know, after it gets our system running throughout the day. So that's one thing I work on with my clients is getting them to, you know, have a good breakfast, and then trying to eat a little bit, you know, throughout the day, not go too long without eating anything. Again, with your system, I talked about those steps in digestion. Each step takes about an hour. And so there's six steps, about 6 hours for the digestive process, but your body is ready for fuel before it's done. So, you know, at least if you can do with like 4 hours, but within that 6 hours, try and feed it again, because it's just a machine and it wants to be constantly, running for maximum.
And for you is a good breakfast? What's a good breakfast?
You know, you can have, I'd like to have some kind of a protein, some kind of a complex carbohydrate would be great with that. A fruit, include some kind of a good fat in there. So the good fats are like avocados, like sunflower seed oil, almond oil. So, you know, if you're going to make an egg, say, with a good fat oil, some kind of a complex carbohydrate, and fruit, that's good to get you going. So some people can do that with, like, a smoothie. You know, you can kind of combine mm-hmm. that. Your good fat might be flax meal. And
right.
Some dairy, some yogurt. Some people like to do that because some people say they don't like to eat in the morning. So, you know, maybe just pop a smoothie.
Yeah. I do a protein drink and add, yeah, fruit and the protein. Well, great. Well, thank you, Kelly, for being here today and sharing your wisdom. I'd like everyone to know Kelly will be part of our next Community Connection event in Seattle on May 21st. You can read about that at www.womenofwisdom.org. This is Chris Stainis, and you're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, I'll be talking to Keisha Ewers.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Is Egypt calling you? Are you dreaming of taking a spiritual pilgrimage to one of the most magical destinations on the planet? Being in Egypt immerses you in the realm of infinite possibilities. The veils are thinner, your connection to your full potential more accessible, and your heart opens more easily. Picture yourself meditating inside the Great Pyramid, exploring the sacred temples in exclusive visits, and cruising down the Nile on a luxurious sailing yacht. If you're interested in travel that transforms and rejuvenates you, join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman, author of The Temples of Light, for a spiritual and healing journey to Egypt this November. Call for more information, 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-6463. Or visit EgyptIsCalling.com. That's EgyptIsCalling.com.
Psychic Dougal Fraser, the queer guy with a third eye, one of the country's most popular psychics, joins Transformation Talk Radio with a call-in advice show that will provide insight and information on creating your best life. You've seen him on The Real Housewives of Orange County, Dancing with the Stars, and so much more. From gurus to gossip, meditation to martinis, the Dougal Fraser Show will both inspire and crack you up with laughter. Tune in every Tuesday at 10. It's the Dougal Fraser Show.
Hey, welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I have Keisha Ewers here. We're going to talk about how you could discover the radiant, youthful you. So Keisha has been in the medical field for over 26 years. After finding no cures in the Western medical tradition for her rheumatoid arthritis, she began exploring alternative medicine and found Ayurvedic medicine, which completely cured her incurable disease. Keisha is a certified advanced registered nurse practitioner with a specialty in primary care or family practice. She has a master's degree in Ayurveda, is a certified functional medicine practitioner, and is finishing her doctoral work in clinical sexology. She is a yoga teacher, Reiki master, angel therapist, certified with Doreen Virtue, and a trained shaman, which adds richness and new dimensions to diagnosing and treating disease. Her role in the world is that of bridging, empowering, and transforming. Welcome, Keisha. So, okay, well, tell us about your journey toward health with your rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, my goodness. So about 15 years ago, I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and that's an incurable disease in the Western medical model. And I started looking for research that would answer some of the questions I had, like, why do I have this? I don't think we ask that question enough, like, why do I have this? Not poor me and how come me, but, you know, what's going on with my body that I got an autoimmune disease, which means I'm attacking myself. And so I pulled a bunch of research, and because I was in graduate school at the time and I had access to medical, you know, the medical research, and I found a bunch of articles on yoga and its effect on autoimmune diseases. So I went to my first yoga class, and my yoga teacher mentioned the word Ayurveda, which is the sister science of yoga. It's kind of the medical arm. And I went home from that first yoga class and typed into, back in those days, they didn't have Google, they had, or Bing, they had Ask Jeeves. So I asked Jeeves what Ayurveda was, and when I read about it, I was just astonished, because it's a 10,000-year-old system of medicine that actually tells you that we're not all the same. And after being in medicine for all the years I'd already been in it, I really, that hit home to me, because I could give one medication to one person and then they act one way, and then the same medication to another person and they'd act completely differently, and we never do know why that happens. And Ayurveda says it's because we all have these different body types. And that was interesting, because I also knew that and one person can eat 5 candy bars in a day and never gain a pound, and another person just looks at a candy bar and gains 5 pounds. And so,
isn't that frustrating?
Yes, exactly. And we have the sense of, well, that's not fair, you know.
Right.
But Ayurveda 10,000 years ago identified that we're not all the same. And that's great, because our medical research in the Western model is geared toward what we call standardized outcomes. And it doesn't work. It's why we have such a litigious society, because we're not standardized people. We're all different. And so when I started learning about my body type and started feeding myself according to my body type, and then I had to get under the emotional piece of it, which was my particular body type has a lot of fire in it, and I tend to hold on to anger when I get angry, and in those days a lot. Nowadays, I had to learn my, you know, those different tools like meditation and yoga and releasing things from my body. And when you're not aware that you're doing that, then your body just kind of knocks on you from the inside and says, hello, there's something going on here. We want your attention. And so within a year of doing the work in Ayurvedic medicine, I'd cured my rheumatoid arthritis. It was really quite remarkable.
Yeah, that is. And it's amazing when we hear stories like this. And what I'm curious on the body types, is it, does this relate to the blood type too? You know, there's that, those books about what's your blood type and.
Right.
What is that?
There are different ways of categorizing and, you know, we're meaning making machines, right? We create patterns with our brains and try to figure out what's going on. And so blood type is one way of looking at things. And there's not a big relation between Ayurveda and that. Ayurveda actually uses those types to illustrate and to talk about the seasons and your time of life and all the things that are going on. Your pets can have a body type, you know, the clouds can have a type. And so it's really the interaction of the human in its environment, which is really important, which goes beyond blood typing.
Well, how do you identify your body type?
There's on my website on fernlifecenter.com, there's a little box that says, what's my dosha? These body types are called doshas in Ayurvedic medicine, and I don't ever change the terminology from Sanskrit, which is the land from which, you know, the language it was written in, because whenever you read about Ayurveda or you hear about Ayurveda, they talk about doshas, your constitutional type, and the body types are vata, pitta, and kapha, those three types. And never is a person just one of them. So you're not pigeonholed. You're a combination of all three. And that's like your own unique fingerprint. And again, depending on what your season of life is and the environment that you're living in, what you've been thinking about a lot lately, what you're eating, that will affect what your balance is. So you have a balance of those three doshas from the time you're born, and then you have where you are today. And if those two don't match up, you have an imbalance. And depending on how severe that mismatch is, will be sort of how severe the symptoms that you're manifesting are. It can go anywhere from PMS to, you know, cancer. So or insomnia or constipation, you know, depending on what the body type is. I will tell you, like, Vata, that body type, is comprised, they say that Ayurveda is an elemental framework of medicine, like Chinese medicine. So they use the elements, like, so the Vata body type is that really light person that I was mentioning that can eat several candy bars in a day and never gain a pound. That's that person. They love aerobics. They love to move a lot. They're runners. They talk a lot, and they're the life of the party. But their imbalance is going to be things that have to do with air and space. So if you were to take a bumper sticker and make a bumper sticker up about a Vata imbalance, it would be airhead. You know, it's like this person is an airhead because they can't focus very well. They don't follow through on things very well. And any air-filled spaces in the body can become adversely affected. And so like the bowel, they run towards constipation a lot, or asthma, or eustachian tube problems like dizziness, Meniere's disease, vertigo. All these things are Vata imbalances. Dryness, dryness of the skin and the hair and the nails. And their body types tend to be thinner if they're in balance, and either short or very tall, and they have thinner hair, thinner lips. And that's that body type. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so is this something people can self-diagnose? It sounds real complex, too, because you're talking about, yeah, you're not just one thing. You're a combination.
Yeah.
But you said something curious to me. Is kind of, you said, okay, you're born with this, and then now you might be different, and you might, should we stay if we're healthy? Should we be at that level that we were when we were born? That is our...
Yeah, that's your natural innate birth constitution. The second body type is kind of familiar to a lot of Americans, because our society really, really rewards the pitta body type. You know, that body type and emotional type is what we consider the type A personality, the person that's pretty driven, has a lot of fire. When they say they're going to do something, they do it, and they do it really well, and they want to be the best at it. So it's very productivity-oriented type of being. And the body type is sort of a medium build. The skin can be lighter with some freckles and kind of medium hair, medium lips. And the imbalance of pitta, so this is where we're talking about imbalance now, can be more inflammation. And that's where that rheumatoid arthritis came up for me, because I'm a pitta girl. And so I had a pitta vata imbalance. The air-filled space of my joints was inflamed. And so it does get kind of complicated. And so an Ayurvedic practitioner can do a pulse diagnosis on somebody and tell what your birth constitution is, and then what your constitution or your balance is inside of that today, and guide you into those practices that will get you to balance again to what your birth constitution is. And when I do the workshop, we'll be talking about that, and the people that come will learn how to do that for themselves.
Okay, so this is something you can do here. You don't have to go to a Ayurvedic practitioner, although it sounds like it would be very helpful, because...
It's very helpful, because it is a pretty, you know, there are so many layers to it. That third body type is the kapha body type, and they're the ones that tend to struggle with weight their whole lives. Their imbalance runs toward things like extra fluid, extra water, cellulite, things that involve mucus. So bronchitis and pneumonia, and then things that do with sugar metabolism, so diabetes and thyroid problems, those kinds of things that tend to be the kapha problem. And they have nice, thick, beautiful hair and thicker lips and luscious, wrinkle-free skin usually for a long time in their lives. And they have that kind of mental, emotional balance of don't worry, be happy, you know, it's more laid back. It's not really rewarded in our society here in the United States because they're more of a voluptuous figure. They don't look like the Cosmo magazine cover, you know, and so a lot of Kapha women really struggle in our society wanting to be something different than they are. And so that's another one of the gifts of Ayurveda is to really help them see, because a Kapha friend and a Kapha lover, they're the best kind because they're super loving, super loyal, very nurturing. I call them kind of the earth mother, you know, the cookie baking mom. Everyone wants to be around them because they're just so loving. So, you know, finding that balance between those three inside of yourself is a journey. It definitely isn't a...
Yeah, I can see that. Well, we're going to continue talking. This is fascinating. So we're going to continue talking about this. We're going to take a break. We'll talk more about, with Keisha, with, about integrative medicine. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host@transformationtalkradio.com.
Lower back pain can be a real pain in the, well, you know. The newly patented Vacupractor relieves that pain simply, inexpensively, and from the privacy of your own home for just $59.95. Listen to what Brad and Dottie have to say about their Vacupractor.
The Vacupractor is amazing. I've had back pain for so long, it's taking time to adjust to not having the pain there.
Each time I've used my Vacupractor, I've gotten instant relief. I would recommend anyone with stiffness and lower back pain give the Vacupractor a try.
Vacupractor is just a one-time cost of $59.95. And you can use it whenever you need in your own home. How does it work? Simple. The Vacupractor uses vacuum pressure. It stretches muscles, restoring proper nerve function and reducing the possibility of disc failure. Finally, a simple, effective treatment for lower back pain that really works.
For more information about the Vacupractor or to order yours, call 800-676-9320 or visit vacupractor.com.
If you like reading personal development books and would appreciate receiving additional guidance from the author, this unique gift is for you. When you purchase the book, In Search of the Miraculous, Healing into Consciousness, and the No Yes Active Meditation CD, you can register for a free teleclass with Eliza Matadalian, which will give you an opportunity to ask your questions and receive personal guidance on how to find your inner joy and live your life more fully. Visit healingintoconsciousness.com for details.
Welcome back. This is Chris Stainis with Voices of Woman, and we're talking to Keisha Ewers today. And that music you just heard, Pray Like a Woman, is Lorraine Bayes, and that's on our Woman of Wisdom CD, which you can get at our website, www.womenofwisdom.org. So, Keisha, first give people, the audience again, your contact information.
Okay. It's Fern Life Center, F-E-R-N-L-I-F-E Center.com. And that's my integrative health medical clinic. And then I also have my own radio show, which is healthyyouradio.com. And
great.
I can be reached at Keisha, which is K-E-E-S-H-A, at fernlifecenter.com or healthyyouradio.com.
Okay. So I want to talk about stress and aging and all that. I mean, you know, we're all on this kick of anti-aging, and all those products out there of anti-aging, it's like almost all you hear. And what's the, you know, how does stress play into that? And integrative medicine, how do you work with integrative medicine towards, you know, working with people's stresses? And
well, it's interesting because I do functional medicine and Ayurvedic medicine and a number of other modalities and spiritual modalities. And the way that I look at things is, you know, when we talk about stress, everybody has stress. Everybody does. And this was one of my great educational points through my rheumatoid arthritis journey, was that stress is what the impact that it has on your body is really up to you. And because we all are in some kind of pressure cooker of our own, you know, of our own circumstances, and how we react to it is what the ultimate impact will have on us. So there's tons of research that shows that lots and lots of stress, and there are different psychological surveys you can do that ask you, and they give a point system, you know, have you moved this year? Are you in school? Have you gotten a divorce? Have you gotten married? All those things, and they're talking, it's a stress index scale. And it's saying, you know, this amount of stress will age you this much. That's kind of interesting, that research. It really does age us if we don't deal with our stress very well. So the impact on the body when you get stressed is, and you're not dealing with it very well, is that you age. You get wrinkles. And I have all these women that will come into my office, and they'll sit down, and they'll say, I need hormone replacement therapy. And I'll say, okay. You know, don't you do bioidentical hormones? And I say, yes, but we have to talk first, you know, and what's happening? And it turns out that, you know, they'll say, well, I don't have any libido. And when I scratch the surface a little bit, it's not, you know, libido doesn't just happen by itself. For women, it's a whole psychological and emotional piece. If you're not feeling like your needs are being met by your partner, then you're not going to be real turned on at the end of your day. So how that looks for each individual person is different because we have our own stories about what we need to feel emotionally safe and secure and like our needs are being met. So with integrative medicine, what I do is I listen to the story. What's the context? Is there been sudden unemployment in the family? Has there been abuse? Are there a couple of kids taken off to college now and there's empty nest syndrome going on? Was there something that happened in childhood, you know, when their parents got divorced or some kind of abuse back then too? All of that stuff has a compounded interest in the body because it affects your hormones. When you go into that sympathetic nervous system response of fight or flight, it impacts your adrenals. When your adrenals are letting out cortisol into your body so that you can either fight that saber-toothed tiger or flee from it, and you're not fighting and you're not running away, it's just a mental stressor, then what does that cortisol do in the system? It's degenerative. It deteriorates your body tissues in there. It makes you gain weight. It makes you have brain fog. It makes inflammation happen. And so over time, the rest of the endocrine system will begin to kick in. Your ovaries will try to help out the adrenals by sending progesterone, you know, trying to shape-shift and help it, because 45% of your progesterone is manufactured in your adrenals. Everyone thinks all those reproductive hormones happen in the ovaries, but that isn't true. So if your adrenals are overtaxed over a long period of time because of lots of stress, then there's 45% of your progesterone kaput, gone. Well, when that happens, then that leaves you what we call estrogen dominant. And if you have too much estrogen in your body, that leaves you open to bad menstrual cycles, you know, crying and moodiness and breast tenderness and weight gain. And also, at the end of that spectrum, autoimmune diseases and cancers of the reproductive organs. So estrogen dominance is not fun. It's not to be played with. We need to take care of it. So on one hand, these women that come into my office and say, I need hormones, they're right. But on the other hand, when I give bioidentical hormones after we test for it, I also do the other components, which means doing the stress reduction techniques that are necessary for getting your adrenals back online, rebuilding your adrenals, checking the thyroid really, really well, not just a TSH, and replacing whatever hormone needs to go on there, learning how to speak your truth. So important. When your thyroid's defunct, you're not speaking your truth. So there's a lot with integrated medicine. You're looking at the whole context, spiritual, emotional, mental, physical, and the environment. What environment are you in that's causing all of this trouble? So it's all of that.
So you're bringing up a good point, and that's really how much the mind plays in this, you know, because you were saying, talking about, a lot of it's our mindset, too, if we're not.
Absolutely. It's perception. Everything's about perception. And if you perceive something as dangerous or not good, then you're going to set off a cascade of hormones from your brain that goes down that sympathetic nervous system pathway instead of the relaxation side, which is the parasympathetic nervous system pathway. And if you wind up triggering that fight or flight response over and over and over, you get what's called a muscle memory or a memory of that. And immediately when you get that feeling in your heart of, oh, no, I've just been abandoned again, or, oh, no, somebody's, you know, not treating me well, that instigates that sympathetic nervous system response because of your perception, because of that. That's the first step. So it is dealing with those perceptions that is the first step. And when I draw pictures for my patients, I draw this whole thing about it, and I say, here's the number one cause right here. We have to fix this as we put your hormonal stuff back together. It cannot happen in isolation.
Yep, so much there. So I would love to have you back again. We could talk for 2 hours on this, I think. So I want to thank you for being here today. Yeah, and
all right,
just thank you for sharing your gifts. Want everybody to know Keisha is going to be part of our next Community Connection event in Seattle. It's May 21st. You can read about it at www.womenofwisdom.org, so you can learn all about your body type and all that with her. So I want to leave you today with this thought. Pay attention to the food you eat today and why. Is it healthy for you? What is your body receiving when you eat it? Remember to bless your food, a good way to give thanks to the earth for what she gives us, especially today on Earth Day. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm glad to have shared this hour with you on Voices of Women. If you would like to contact me, you can email me at wow@womenofwisdom.org. I'm the author of the best-selling, award-winning book, Women of Wisdom. You can purchase that at our website, womenofwisdom.org. I also want to invite you to an online teleclass that I am giving at wisewomanuniversity.org. It's called Reclaim Your Feminine Wisdom and Become a Powerful Woman. So if you want to strengthen your voice, become more visible and powerful, this course is for you. It's a deep personal journey looking how we weren't respected as a woman or girl, or our voices weren't heard, how we don't feel heard, and how that continues to play in our life today. And we'll create a new map embracing our feminine gifts. The course is 4 weeks long, and the next one starts this next, 2 Wednesdays from now, May 4th. And you can look for that at www.wisewomanuniversity.org. So I want to invite you to our next Woman of Wisdom dinner is next Tuesday, April 26th. It's going to be an evening of laughter. And again, our May 21st Community Connection workshop is Food for the Soul, Nourishing Our Physicality. Thank you for tuning in today to Voices of Women. Have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stainis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stainis.